Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In California, four have been arrested in the murder-for-hire plot of a 96-year-old woman for living too long. In Arizona, a firefighter is arrested after causing $25,000 in damage to a townhome after a man threatened to expose his affair. And in Ohio, two women pull off a Weekend at Bernie's-style robbery. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, March 13th. On Real Life or a Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Good to see you back, Woody.
Yep. Before we get started, I'm gonna give some shout-outs, if y'all don't mind. Yeah, so that Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, I guess around 10:45, something like that, I had my cell phone sitting in my lap, and say my mom was calling. And I'm like, maybe my dad went to bed. She wants to talk about whatever. But I answered it, and she said, your daddy's having a heart attack. And I said, okay. So I'm usually 10 minutes from door to door from the property I'm on to the property they're at. And I made it about 5, and it's a long road back to the cabin, back behind the main house where they were at. And so I get there, and the lights are out, and my mom's in my dad's bedroom, and I go in. I don't know if I'm going to find him unresponsive or whatever, but he's laying in the bed, and he's saying, my chest. And I'm like, I told my mom, I called back on the way over. I said, call Acadian Ambulance. She said, well, they can't get back here. Well, I knew they could, because a couple of months ago, I had them back there when my mom wasn't there. I won't go into that. But wasn't going to argue with her. She said they were going to meet up by the main house. And so I got my dad, loaded him in my truck. My mom's going to follow and get up to the front. And shout out to the volunteer firemen who showed up. And they set up a landing strip in the field by the house for AirMed to come get him. And a shout out to the two lifers who were riding the Katie ambulance who showed up. But it's taken too long to get into the hospital. And he didn't want to go to the closest hospital, et cetera, but for whatever reasons. But the two girls showed up are lifers. Both of them had been to my parents' house before on separate calls. And anyway, shout out to those people who set up that landing strip and those pilots who landed the helicopter and got my dad. And those girls took care of my dad until they got there and got him out. And then we spent the night in the hospital and got out about 1 o'clock the next day, and turned out it wasn't a heart attack. Well, I don't know what it was. But the kind of funny thing is, after they took off in the helicopter, the two girls on the ambulance, they're both lifers. The one said, it didn't take us 45 minutes to get here, because it goes back to a Real Life, Real Crime original story when I talk about my partner's father-in-law. When we showed up at the house, and I had to give him mouth to mouth, and once you start, you can't stop. Mm-hmm. And it took him 45 minutes to get there. She was referencing that story, but those people are professionals. They do it. every day, and I don't think they get enough credit. You know, that certainly the end result is a positive, and my dad's still here and all, but I know they're listening, and I want to tell them thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, from me and my mama. And that's it. So that's
many prayers to back in the
back in
family.
Back in the saddle, and let's roll with some crime time.
Well, we got a couple things though.
What's that?
Through all that, you were still able to do some boar killing with your Wisconsin
they
fellas.
They showed up at 7 o'clock that evening, and I was able to get a nap in. And it was a great trip, very successful trip. Got a couple trophies out of it to be mounted. Lily and Brandy, if you're listening, they're in the cooler. Then you come get them. Everybody had a great time. They got a lot of great South Louisiana hospitality, and I can assure you they had the greatest. I don't know if it's a great experience of their life. They had a hell of a good time. We'll leave it like that.
Very good.
So, well, especially awful. Considering the weather was pretty awful.
Well, but that bad storm on Friday, the rivers came up and flooded where our traps were at and stuff like that. So we had to go old school on them. But they went home with trailers full of meat, and it was a good time. It was cool.
Awesome. Good. Well, I had my worst multi-day gambling streak of my life.
Yeah.
Literally lost everything.
Yeah.
I had two bets on the State of the Union address. I lost both of those.
That's the State of the Union. They have one.
I won't say exactly what one involved how competent the primary speaker would be, and I lost that. And the second was how competent Susie Homemaker giving the response would be. The third was two Oscars bets where this was supposed to be the first Oscars DEI, so I thought there's no chance that anyone white was going to win any awards, and all the awards went to white people.
What does DEI mean?
DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, and God. I lost on Godzilla. I wanted to bet Godzilla, and I lost on Godzilla, and I love Godzilla. So that, and then a round of golf with my son to end the weekend, who has never beaten me in golf prior to Sunday in his life, where we had a standing bet that I would shave my head if he beat me. And
your head is
and I'm looks like sitting Jim's here today. Looking like an egg. Jim has a head better shaped for not having hair on it than mine.
Yeah,
I look like.
Well,
we are looking all around.
We are now.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Officially,
calendar boy.
We could call this show 2.5 bald men because I got the big bald spot on the back of my head.
Yeah, that's right. That's bad. Did you learn anything from that bet you lost on the black white thing, Mike? Did you learn anything?
Well, it wasn't actually a bet on black white. Yeah. It was a bet about who would win, and that went into my thinking. And I love Jeffrey Wright, the actor. I think he's great. And I think American Fiction is a great movie. And I was wrong.
I got to officially say I did not watch the Oscars or State of the Union. Didn't even know they were on. And I'm just as happy as I am now as I was before you told me about that.
I wish my mind didn't work toward caring about any of that shit.
All right, now,
unfortunately,
let's get down to some true crime time. Wait, we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Let's get down to true crime time for War Hump Day Wednesday.
All right, and we are going to go into California.
Hey, let me interrupt you real quick. I want to do this. I think we touched on this before. I know I read it real quick, but can I interrupt you? Let's go to
100%.
Let's go to everybody's favorite sheriff.
Grady Judd.
Right, yep. Grady Judd, America's favorite sheriff on a shelf.
Sheriff on a shelf.
Like we have it here, sitting here in the studio. He's at it again. And of course, I'm talking about down in Polk County, Florida. And Operation March Sadness 2024, it was an 8-day long undercover human trafficking operation, which went from February 22nd to 29th. And during the operation, Polk County Sheriff's Vice Unit arrested 228 suspects involved in illegal acts relating to hitting up prostitutes or offering to commit prostitution or aiding and abetting prostitutes. And during the investigation, 13 possible human trafficking victims were identified of the 66 prostitutes who were arrested. Now, I think it's more important than arresting prostitutes because they aren't going to stop is what happened next. There were 150 suspects arrested for soliciting a prostitute and traveling to an undercover location to negotiate having sex in exchange for money. And detectives charged a total of 70 felonies and 288 misdemeanors during the operation. And the suspects' combined criminal histories included 879 felonies and 1,150 misdemeanors. That's pretty important, right? Like the Sheriff Judge said, this is a new record number of arrests during an investigation of this kind. More importantly, we identified 13 human trafficking victims and 21 of the rest are suspected of being in the country illegally. The valuable relationships that we have with the social services organization who join us in these operations make it possible for these women to get help and to be emancipated from this way of life. I think that's very important. Shout out to it. I do believe that we touched on it briefly before because about the different people from the different walks of life, like school teachers and servicemen and whatever, you know, but the shout out Grady Judd for rocking it. I'm sorry for interrupting
you. No, man. No, that's great. Good story.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll go to California from Florida, and we're going to tell you about a murder for hire plot that four people were engaged in that resulted in the death of a 96-year-old woman. They have been arrested. Violet Alberts was preparing to celebrate her upcoming birthday by baking cookies when she was killed. Bill Brown, the Santa Barbara County Sheriff, said the case was tangled in an evil web of financial exploitation against the victim. Alberts was found unresponsive by her caregiver in her home. Police were then called to the house where she was pronounced dead. A medical examiner later declared that she had died due to asphyxiation, choking out. Police also found evidence that she was preparing to make cookies when she was killed. The initial investigation confused detectives. They couldn't figure out who would want to kill Alberts. 96-year-old woman, right?
Making cookies.
She had always been considered a cherished figure in her community, but eventually they narrowed it down to 48-year-old Pauline Macarino. It was learned in 2020, Macarino had orchestrated fraud to help gain control of Robert's multi-million-dollar home and assets. And according to the judge, Alberts had recently ran out of money and someone she knew referred Macarino to help her. That's when Macarino conducted a reverse mortgage scheme, which also forged documents. Macarino's plan was to hope that Alberts would die by natural causes sometime soon so that she could take over the home. Mm-hmm. In the eyes of Pauline Macarino, Miss Alberts was just living too long. In other words, Miss Alberts was 96, going on 97, and the assumption was she'd probably die pretty quick and that she would have obtained the home by fraudulent means, so the acceleration of her death was presumably the motivation. Authorities now believe that Macarino hired 58-year-old Harry Basseman, 33-year-old Henry Rosteman, and 41-year-old Ricardo Martin Del Campo.
She deserves to be a dumb criminal.
She does.
She's 46. She could have choked a 96 or 97-year-old out herself.
I agree. And she hired four people with very hard to pronounce last names to do it. To carry out the murder.
She knew you'd attempt to do this story.
It was then discovered that Martin Del Campo and Ross DeMayan conducted a scouting trip just a couple of days before the killing. This pivotal discovery shed light on the premeditated nature of the crime, which is important when you find that premeditation. That's the difference between, many different charges of murder. Macarino had already been convicted and sentenced to 6 years in prison for fraud in Albert's case. Now she's facing additional charges of soliciting to commit murder. All the other suspects were arrested within the last 2 months and are now charged with murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Then, while in federal custody on unrelated charges, Basmatigan suffered a medical emergency and is essentially brain dead. I feel so bad for him. Right. According to Judge Brown, Alberts didn't have any family that lived nearby, but was constantly loved and checked on by other members of the community. Despite her age, she remained active and engaged and was known for her warm demeanor and social nature. And we want to shout out listener Shelby Candley for sending me this story.
Yeah, awesome, Shelby.
Well, one thing that's unbelievable about the story is it actually took place in Montecito, California, which is, I believe, the most expensive zip code in the United States to live in. This woman had a three-bedroom, two-bath little house in Montecito.
It'd be worth
$6 million.
What?
Dollars. $6 million. That's how out of control Montecito real estate is. So, I mean, if you're going to live next to Oprah and you're going to live next to, you know, Meghan Markle and all those people, you're going to pay out the ass for it. They knew who to go after to get a bunch of money. You know,
she's a little bitch because she should have done it herself.
Right.
I mean, hiring three hitmen? Or soliciting, or however you want to say it, somebody's going to rat your fucking ass.
Yeah, no, Guido could have saved her 95% on that deal.
Rent a hitman, right? But I mean, sooner or later, those dudes are going to get in trouble and they're going to rat her out, which evidently he did. Let me tell you, the only crime that pissed me off more than child rape is people that fuck with the elderly.
Yeah.
And it happened all the time.
You're right.
It really pisses me off.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she preferred to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Well, that's a great segue to my first story.
All right.
Speaking of fucking with the elderly, we're going to go to Ohio, and I'm calling this Weekend of Dougies. So two women from Ohio allegedly propped a dead man up in their car and went for a drive to the dead man's bank's drive-through window. Karen Kasbaum, age 63, and Laureen Ferrallo, age 55, are now facing felony charges after dropping off the body of Douglas Lehman, who was 80, at the Ashtabula County Medical Center emergency room on Monday. According to Ashtabula Police Chief Robert Stell and Ashtabula attorney Cecilia Cooper, medical personnel had no idea who Lehman was, nor who the women were. They simply dropped him at the emergency room. They left without providing any information to the hospital. They just left him, said Stell. One of the women called the hospital a few hours later, providing some personal information about the man, and authorities were able to identify him. Officers were then dispatched to Lehman's home and spoke to the two women who said Lehman had died earlier at his home in Ashtabula. They left their little joyride to the bank with Dougie the corpse out of their explanation. Police were surprised to find out that the dead man had managed to make it over to the bank to empty out his savings account.
Nice.
Kasbaum and Ferrallo were taken into custody on Wednesday and were each charged with gross abuse of a corpse and theft. The women, who were not related to Lehman but did live at his house, they were friends of his, found Lehman dead inside the home on Monday. They decided a call to 911 was unnecessary, as Dougie was most definitely dead, and figured, especially now that their buddy was dead, he wouldn't have any problem with them grabbing some grocery money out of his account. So they hatched their little plan. They're accused of taking Lehman's body out of the home and propping him up in the passenger seat of their car with the help of a third unidentified individual. Then they had Lehman's body accompany them for a drive through the bank's drive-through window to withdraw approximately $900 from his savings account. Police allege the women propped Lehman up so the bank teller could see him. The women had apparently pulled this same maneuver off numerous times while Lehman was still alive. I guess he was in pretty bad shape there down the home stretch. Yeah. And the bank had previously allowed them to withdraw money from Lehman's account. The cause of Lehman's death is unknown at this point. Chief Stell said the case remains under an investigation and the two women could face additional charges. Kasbaum appeared in court for her arraignment and a judge set her bond at $5,000. Ferrallo is scheduled to appear for hers, but if convicted, they could face up to a year in prison on each of these charges.
It'd be interesting to see what the cause of death is.
They look like such nice ladies.
Geniuses.
Taking good care of their pal Dougie.
I heard the faint sound of banjos on that one. But they got away with it. For a while.
Well, and it seems like, I couldn't find anything about the guy having any family. Yeah. It seems like he was, I don't know how with it he was toward the end of life, but that he was going with them to give them, they all live together.
Yeah,
give them
money. They probably kind of infringed on that living in part, befriended him. He's elderly or whatever. And yeah.
Well, they should have probably paid the $199 to have him fill out a will and make them the benefactor.
I'm going to take murder out of it, because if it was murder, I don't believe they would have dropped him at the hospital. Even though they knew he was dead, why not just throw him over a bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he probably did die of natural causes, but we'll see. But stupid. $900, eh? Boy, you can buy a lot of groceries for $900.
Yeah.
Fuck, you can get $900 and not get four bags.
It was unclear if that was all of it. I mean, if their plan was really that diabolical, they would have emptied it. Yeah. Now, I don't know if they completely emptied it or not. It's unclear, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a Phoenix firefighter was arrested on accusations that he caused more than $25,000 in damage to a townhome after a resident threatened to tell his wife he was having an affair. Uh-oh. Gregory Noss planned to sabotage the plumbing and HVAC system of the townhome in a retaliation plot. Mm. Detective said a witness noticed Noss on the roof of a townhome in Peoria, Arizona. Noss clogged the townhome's plumbing and roof using spray foam and vandalized the air conditioning unit. He is also accused of putting holes in the roof. I mean, that's cold right there. Nice. Noss was involved in a dispute with the townhome's resident over a romantic relationship that Noss had with the resident's girlfriend. The resident said he was going to tell Noss's wife about the affair. In response, Noss texted the resident saying, "I know where you live," and threatened to destroy his life. Noss was arrested and charged with multiple crimes, including second-degree burglary, criminal damage, harassment, threatening, and intimidating. He is a fire engineer with the Phoenix Fire Department.
He was.
The operative word there.
Thank God he's got civil service so that he gets convicted.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, who was it that sung The Fireman?
George Strait.
George Strait. Yeah. And George Strait said he's making his rounds all over town, putting out old flame.
You drill a hole, or I assume he drilled holes in the roof, and then you take out the heat and air.
And so he sprayed foam and all. Foam. I mean, that was well thought out.
He had some serious intentions. Well, you know what? He should have saved all that money for his divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
Because you know that dude's going to tell after you do all that shit to his house.
Yep. Yeah. That pension go bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody's going to get it.
Yep.
Another guy that could have used some banjos.
Yeah, you're right. That's fucking stupid.
I got another stupid.
Yeah, it seems to be Stupid Wednesday.
It's Idaho.
Who do I?
It's Idaho. Where a man fatally shot his ex-girlfriend's, wait for it, horse after she broke up with him.
Buckling up man's horse.
Sean Braden Jones was charged in connection with the shooting death of Maylee Cooper's horse. An Idaho man has been arrested after allegedly killing his ex-girlfriend's horse. Sean Braden Jones was arrested after police responded to a call for help at a Moreland, Idaho home. Jones, 24, told the responding deputy that he had broken up with his girlfriend, Maylee Cooper, a week prior and that she had left the horse on his property. He told officers he felt the horse needed to be put down because it had not been fed or taken care of and was not doing well. He said nobody attended to the horse since January 31st, and he didn't know what was going on with it. When officers pressed for further information, Jones allegedly stammered and was incoherent. The deputy at the scene said Jones reeked of alcohol. When the officer went to take photos of the horse, he noticed the bullet wounds, but said otherwise the horse appeared to be in good health. And, and quote, there were no signs.
Oh, the holes in it.
There were no signs of malnourishment or neglect. According to the deputy, Jones's father volunteered to speak with him and volunteered that his son was, quote, out of control and, quote, needed to be charged.
Yeah, you think?
It's a pretty aggressive move by dad. Jones's father said that his son, quote, did not need to shoot the horse. According to authorities, they spoke with Maylee Cooper, who's 22, and learned that she had been on the property earlier that day, but left after Sean became angry about their breakup and accused her of cheating on him. Cooper was on her way to get a truck and trailer to pick up the horse from Jones's property when she received a call from his father claiming that Sean had shot and killed the horse. Mm. In a GoFundMe set up to help Cooper purchase another amazing performance horse, a friend wrote that Cooper had adopted her pet, Bree. That was
I was going to ask you, what's the horse the same?
Bree, when the mare was just 3 years old. She then put in all the time, energy, hard work, and money it took to start the mare and finish this mare herself. read part of the fundraiser. This horse meant more to May Lee than most could possibly imagine. Jones was booked into Bingham County Jail, charged with felony malicious injury to property. While he was being booked, he made a point to state that he did not regret shooting the horse. It wasn't immediately clear if he entered a plea. He's set to appear in court later this month. A girl breaks up with you, you shoot her horse.
First time I ever heard that.
That is the first time I've ever heard
shooting
it
a horse.
Well. Yeah, I thought the only way was like you had to piss off Don Corleone and then you'd end up with one in your bed.
That's the offer you can't refuse. And he didn't get mad. That was business.
Horse head in his bed.
That's just fucking crazy. Yeah. Well,
said he didn't think she was taking care of the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
But when daddy tells on you, that's not, I mean, when daddy gives you up, you're in big trouble.
And the horse appeared to be fine.
Yeah.
Other than the bullet holes.
Yeah. Well, what he meant to say is, it didn't have any signs of not having been taken care of.
Right. Starvation. Just the bullet holes.
Did have the bullet holes. So
there you go. Now, Mike, I know your boy's in TCU, right, in Texas?
Yes, sir.
And are you getting Uber Eats charges?
Or yes, I am.
You give them allowances? Well, I go out of town all the time. Like, again, I'll be doing this week. But I do use Uber Eats. I like to be able to sit in the comfort of my hotel room and scroll through shit and see what kind of deals I can get or whatever, right? And you can get different things delivered at different times from, different places all delivered at one time. Well, let's go to Corpus Christi, Texas. This is not a good story, and it does involve Uber Eats. And at Texas A&M in Corpus Christi, y'all said it's like a satellite campus for Texas A&M, student Caleb Harris has been missing for over a week. Now, he vanished after going to pick up his Uber Eats order last week, according to his parents. Corpus Christi police have been searching for Harris. He's 21 years old, y'all, for a week since he was last seen outside his apartment complex called The Cottages, which is basically one of those apartment complexes for the Texas A&M students. But it was just before 3 a.m. on Monday, March the 4th. So roommate got a new dog, and so from 10 p.m. on, they were playing with the dog. We do have some video of them playing with the dog, Caleb's father told Fox News. He was preparing for the next afternoon. He had ordered from a convenience store his lunch for the next day, which is very normal. He's a creature of habit, so it's very normal for him to do that. His family says they got different Snapchats from Caleb until about 2:45 a.m. Now, look, I think we all have kids around this age, right? If my son is sending me Snapchats, first, I don't have Snapchat, but Snapchat's 2:45 a.m., I'd be mad as a motherfucker. That's about what time I go to sleep. Anyway, when he went to take the new dog out for a walk around his apartment complex, that was around 2:45. Just before 3 a.m., he put the dog back inside his apartment and went outside to wait for his Uber Eats order to arrive, but he never returned to his apartment. Caleb had his phone on him at the time, but Corpus Christi police say it was turned off, which doesn't make any sense because part of my enjoyment of Uber Eats is watching where they're at, right? The Uber Eats delivery was marked as completed, and he kind of vanished. There's no evidence of wrongdoing, but there's no evidence at all. And so it's a matter of looking at every inch, everything we could possibly think of. That's what his father said. He said it's a mystery. Concerned father said his son was in the process of preparing for many things, including school and an upcoming fishing trip. He had also recently signed a new lease for his apartment, indicating that he did not have any clear intentions of leaving home. Also indicates to me it's not a suicide issue. But Randy described Caleb's resident as any other college-oriented apartment complex. But it's not a school-owned building, but it's very close to the campus. And, the mom had just visited him the Friday before he disappeared. Said he likes to fish and likes to be with people and that kind of thing. He's fun-loving, he's joyful, and everybody says he's a very likable person. And, of course, the family is distraught, but they do think the Corpus Christi Police Department is doing a good job in keeping them informed, et cetera. But it's kind of strange, right?
there.
Yeah, and I got.
And so the meal was delivered to someone.
Well, you know how they do that? I'll say, check and leave at my door, and they'll do it, and they'll take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And I've actually had them do it, and I'm following it in, and I was hungry as a motherfucker. And waiting on my shit to get there, and they Mark's delivered, and they take a picture. It's not my door. And then you have to go to the neighbor's house and get your food. Right. But, yeah, evidently.
But he went outside.
He went outside. He walked the dog and put the dog back inside. He goes out to get his Uber Eats. So, you know, obviously you can see it coming in. Goes out to get it. So maybe there was an exchange on the thing. And the Uber Eats driver marked it as complete. And home it disappeared.
And so maybe the Uber Eats driver gave the meal to someone else.
Could be. Or maybe he gave it to him. And maybe somebody was waiting in the bushes. I've had a lot of people get killed over pizza delivery guys, you know, stuff like that. But the Uber guy didn't. I don't know. You know what? We're going to keep tabs on this one. I think there's something fishy down in Corpus Christi.
Well, it's a border town. I mean, I hate to say it, but you never know. I mean, that one could have been over, literally over the food.
And all of us, I've had murders over a pizza before. Yeah, the Eric Wahlberg case here in Livingston, which we'll get to one day. But we all got kids that age. I got my own minor out of college now, except for the one that has to go to college. But
did you guys watch that?
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Reality show Extreme Makeover.
I've heard of it, but I think I watched one episode because a kid I knew whose daddy died in a car wreck. They did a – is that where like they go in and they flip the – like
– Yeah, it was the first of the
I don't know which
home
one
flipper
it was.
Kind of
it,
shows.
It was this one, the show I'm talking about. They went in because I can't remember the name. They went in and gave like the home a makeover after the daddy died and the kids got their dream room and all that shit. Is that the same one?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those shows now. There's that couple in Waco, whatever her name is, that got really famous on it. But this is Extreme Makeover, the Graveyard Edition that I'm going to talk about here. Yeah. A cleaning influencer has stirred up controversy after tidying up neglected graves without permission because she feels that, quote, everyone deserves a beautiful resting place. No, this is not the latest in a product line from Roy and the two Christians at Louisiana Funeral Services. This is the real story of the tomb bather. Videos of the tomb bather's morbid-seeming maintenance routines have drawn millions and millions of views on TikTok. I'm at the graveyard at night cleaning this abandoned grave for free. The woman, also known as the clean girl on the platform, says from an unidentified graveyard in one of the macabre clips, which boasts more than 19 million views.
Wow.
In the freaky footage, the pixie blonde influencer can be seen shoveling dirt from around a soot-caked tombstone as if she's about to excavate it. Then in a bizarre twist, she starts spraying the headstone with bubblegum pink cleaner and scouring it clean with a Scrub Daddy brand sponge, one of her sponsors. What happened? How did this grave get so dirty? Ponders the clean girl to her 1 million TikTok followers. At one point, tomb bather starts reflecting on the grave's occupant. Her name's Bienvenida. Wow. Her name means welcome in Spanish. She continues her macabre contemplation, gushing. Bienvenida died on July 23rd, 1980. Her star sign was Aries. My best friend was an Aries. I wonder what Bienvenida's life was like. She also randomly asked, does she like chocolate cupcakes? By the end of the clip, the gravestone is so sparkingly clean it could be in a museum. TikTok commenters have mixed feelings about her post-mortem home makeovers, with some praising Clean Girl for her so-called good deed. You're so kind, you're cleaning graves for free, fawned one fan under the video of her cleaning the deceased baby's grave. Another wrote, if I came across her cleaning my loved one's grave, I'd be so grateful. However, other viewers aren't too thrilled with her unsolicited grave tidying jobs. It doesn't feel right touching someone else's grave without the permission of the family, said one. Others even accused Clean Girl of using the deceased to garner eyeballs online. You sure emphasized for free, but you meant for content, scoffed one commentator. Get out of the cemetery. If you were really doing it for free, you wouldn't post about it on social media for clout, criticized another. One cemetery prominently featured in several of her posts called the police on Tomb Bather. Seems she was doing some of her best work after cemetery hours and therefore trespassing. Undeterred by her arrest, Clean Girl marched forward looking for more dirty final resting places to leave her mark on and to post a video from. However, she believes her work is worth it, as everyone deserves a beautiful resting place. Well, we also believe everyone deserves a beautiful resting place, and so do our friends Roy, Kristen, and Kristen up at Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory in Broussard, Louisiana, under that big American flag.
Well, I don't know anything about plans for graveyard cleaning product, but I got to see Roy at the coroner's in Lopez meeting, and he did tell me about some of the stuff that he and the two Kristens have that are new products, which some of them are just going to absolutely revolutionize the autopsy business, if you will. And they're going to tell us more about it when we're in Broussard next week. I don't know anything about plans for a graveyard cleaning product, but I saw, you know, when I saw Roy at the corner and the Lopez meeting at the conference I spoke at, he did tell me about some, you know, stuff that he's got coming out that he and the two Kristens are developing together. It's absolutely going to change the autopsy industry as we know it. But, and they have new products, and they're going to tell us more about them next week when we're in Broussard.
Well, then we'll be able to share those things with the listeners when we get back.
That's the way this whole marketing thing works, Jim.
Well, that's right. I go, and since this is marketing, let me say that we're all going to go at some point, and it's reassuring to know that when that happens, or when it happens to a family pet, we got people we can turn to that we trust.
Whether it's a family pet or family member, whether it's a direct cremation or a traditional two-day funeral service with a graveside burial, you know what to do. Call 1-800-FUNERAL. That's 1-800-FUNERAL. Or go to LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. That's LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com.
Or just go drop in on them under that big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana.
Rest easy. All right. We got a super cop for today. And some newly released body camera footage shows the moments after a police dog and his deputy handler found a missing toddler in Michigan. This happened on Monday. Authorities responded to a home in Geneva Township after learning a three-year-old boy had disappeared from a residence. Deputy Eric Calhoun and his police dog, Kuno, were among those who responded to the scene about 30 minutes after the child was last seen. The duo reportedly found a footprint near the home, which led to a body of water less than a mile from the residence. Kuno and Calhoun found the boy about 50 yards from that water. Drone operators were able to locate the boy at the same time, and footage from the incident that was released by the Van Buren County Sheriff's Office showed a second deputy rushing up behind Kuno and Calhoun after the child was found. He can be heard saying, "Hey, buddy," before reaching the crying child, who asked for his mother. The child was wearing only a diaper when he was found. Now, in the clip, the second deputy picked up the child and comforted him as he walked toward Kuno and Calhoun. Van Buren County Sheriff Daniel Abbott is happy to see that the case had a good, positive ending. He was quoted as saying, "If we hadn't happened to locate the kid when we did, you're talking 3, 4, or 5 minutes that kid might have wandered around in one of those ponds, and we may have a different outcome." The toddler returned home uninjured. Now, this is the fifth child found by Kuno and Calhoun in their joint careers. Wow. Kuno has been with the Van Buren County Sheriff's Office since 2017, and Abbott said Calhoun's goal is to have Kuno become the number one dog in the state of Michigan, if not the nation. And I would say they're well on their way.
Absolutely.
And they are both super cops.
Another amazing one.
Way to go, Kuno.
We just had one like last week or the week before. And remember another Tyler got out and was almost in the swamp.
Yeah.
And the cops found him. That, or might have been the last Super Cops. But yeah, Heroes. It's a great, great ending to what should have been a tragedy.
Absolutely.
Super Cops.
Gotta love those canines.
Mm-hmm. I do love them.
Who knows?
Yeah. Here we go with Kinky Crimes for Wednesday. Now, it's been a minute because I've been out, but this one.
Hump Day Kinky Crimes are always
good. Day Kinky Crimes, and this one is certainly interesting to say the least. So, let's go to Maryland. And an arrest warrant has been issued for a woman who is accused of engaging in a sex act in, wait for it, the dining room of a McDonald's restaurant.
Oh, God. That's where the crime comes from. Right.
Investigators charged Conrad Jacoby, 30, with indecent exposure, open lewdness, and disorderly conduct after he was seen receiving oral sex from an unidentified woman in a McDonald's in York, Pennsylvania.
Hey, that gives another name to a Happy Meal.
The lady must have been from Maryland. They found out later on, right? But upon spotting Jacoby and the woman, an employee kicked them out of the restaurant and called the cops. At the time of Jacoby's caller, cops asked anyone with information about the woman's identity to contact him. Police then, through that, you know, people calling in, identified the chick or the lady or the, well, I shouldn't say that time. This female, Christina Elena Chafin, 37, as Jacoby's public sex partner. Chafin was charged with open lewdness and disorderly conduct. Both will be adding to their already lengthy rap sheets.
Well,
Maryland, and they're in York, Pennsylvania. And look, hey, McDonald's dining room is cheaper than a fucking hotel room. Yeah,
damn right.
It's a family restaurant.
I guess they didn't have a car either. I mean,
she must have overheard him ordering the Happy Meal.
Yeah. She wanted it. Back in the day when you got the Happy Meal toys were like erasers for your pencils when we were kids. Maybe she wanted a tip or something. I don't know.
Maybe she was trying to seduce Mayor McCheese and ended up with this clown instead.
I don't know, but I guarantee you one thing about this story. I stake my life on it. That ice cream machine in that McDonald's wasn't working.
Hell no, it wasn't. Don't ever work.
It ice cream never worked. Boy. Dumb commercials.
We got some dumb criminals from across the pond.
Well, we had dumb criminals all day today.
Yeah, we have.
Including the kinky crime.
But this time we've got Natali and Gregory Fedorenchek. And they had escaped a bad situation in Lithuania and found themselves in Suffolk, England. Mm. Work was hard to come by, but the brothers were big, tough, and resourceful. They'd figure something out. They'd gotten some work painting a building in the town of Ipswich.
Ipswich.
Their English was awful, but they could read and speak well enough to hold down painting jobs. The building in Ipswich was directly across from a bank. The brothers watched regularly the comings and goings of customers at the bank. It was strange indeed that it seemed like every single customer at the bank was a man, but even stranger that the bank did not appear to have any security on duty day or night. If they ever wanted to change their lives, this was their opportunity. They could hit the bank in Ipswich just one time and then escape town and build a new life with their new treasure. So on a crisp April morning, the brothers Fedorenchek burst into the Suffolk Sperm Bank building in Ipswich. They were expecting to grab cash and jewelry, but instead they found deposits of a different kind.
Oh, God.
Police collared the disappointed-looking pair as they attempted to escape, clutching nothing more than a few porno mags.
Oh, God.
Boom, Jim. Clutching nothing more than a few pornographic magazines. Detective Inspector Paul Hood told the local paper, quote, "The two men were Eastern European and had clearly recognized the word bank on the side outside the building.
Spank bank.
But they evidently had no idea what the word sperm above it meant. Armed with a lead pipe, they burst in through the front door, and CCTV pictures from inside the building show the two scratching their heads as they wondered where all the safes containing the money were. rather than a row of cashiers and hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash, they were confronted with nothing more than a receptionist and a few embarrassed-looking men. Detective Inspector Hood said two men aged 27 and 31 had been charged with attempted robbery and would appear before Ipswich magistrates in the morning. The inspector joked that one of the men was named Jack Meoff, but they were able – I can't believe an inspector did that – but they were as yet unable to identify the second. No one in the bank was hurt, but the bank manager decided to join in on the fun, saying, quote, "We are very grateful to the police for taking this in hand. Our receptionist was worried these men would take out their weapons and put their empty sack on the table in front of her." A banjo serenade was never so greatly deserved.
For that perfect ending for what has to be the most dumb criminals we've had on One Shadow in One Day.
Well, they understood the word bank. That's word sperm threw them
off. My favorite
off
dumb
a
criminals
bit.
Of all time. Spank Bank.
Spank Bank?
Yeah. They missed it.
Ipswich.
Well,
Ipswich Pine, the most popular men wax color on the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got to replace those porno mags.
I wonder what's in that Ipswich.
You would think they could afford a TV with, like, some porno DVDs.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, I don't know. If I was going to donate sperm, I'm not going to go and use somebody else's magazine.
Oh.
Right?
Hey, when I was going to school, they were working on the male pill at Vanderbilt. You could get $75 for dropping off a a cup full of swimmers
I'd have been
did it. The entire frat house was over there constantly.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got to have drinking
$75.
Got to have drinking money. All right. With that, love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for liking and sharing. Go to Real Life Real Crime Daily Facebook page. Check it out. We'll post the pictures of these dumb criminals and everybody else, the sex kinky crimes and other stories. And again, a shout out to all first responders, the paramedics and ambulance workers and helicopter pilots and nurses and cops. They get it done every day.
And x-ray techs.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That's a pretty, when every time I go and broken something or another, they're pretty good people.
Yeah.
And police canines.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. Police canines are definitely police officers.
Kuno?
Yep. That's it.
Till next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
I bet.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.